Amen. Isn't that good, though? You see what God does through just a little bit of obedience? Just a little bit of obedience. And, I mean, for us, honestly, come on. For us, giving money is probably the easiest thing we can do, right? I mean, really, it's easy to give $1 or $5 or $10 or whatever you can give. And then to see what God does with that, man. God takes it in his hand, brings forth fruit. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, let's get ready. We're going to knock out some truth today, get it down deep in our hearts. Let's get our word out. Father, thank you for your word. It is life-giving, life-breathing. It's a breath of fresh air to all who would hear, listen, and obey. So, Father, use your word today. Use your truth. Set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to flip to Joshua chapter 24. We're talking about influence. This is going to be the last Sunday we talk about influence. Let me ask you this. Where do you think influence should begin? Say it again. Say it louder. Louder than that, Craig. Come on. Home, that's right. Influence should begin at home. I want us to look at Joshua. You know, if you look at Joshua and you look at some other great leaders in the Bible, anyone that you see who wants to make an impact or has made an impact that goes beyond their lifetimes, how many of you would say, I want to make an impact, I want to live a life that goes beyond my life? I mean, you want things that, you want a legacy to follow you. You want there to be a remnant of your life once you're gone. Let me tell you, every single one of your life is limited. You're on borrowed time, and the time is ticking. And the day of your death draws nearer and nearer. Amen? Ain't nobody get too excited about that one. I didn't hear a whole lot of amens on that one. The truth is the truth whether we receive it or not, right? And so our lives are drawing closer and closer to the end of this life on earth. And what we do with our life and how we live our life determines what comes and goes beyond us. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave a legacy of the goodness of God. I don't care about stuff or money or any of that stuff to leave for my kids. They all just went, what? No, I love my kids, man. But I am way more concerned about leaving a legacy of following passionately after the Father and being filled with the Holy Spirit and living a life of purpose here on this earth, because those seeds are eternal. I love my kids. I'll tell you just a quick funny story. If that's okay. It really has not anything to do with the sermon today, but it's a really funny story. So yesterday, I had the awesome privilege of hanging out with my two sons. Now, Jim, I'm going to get choked up, man, because that doesn't happen very often, you know, where we just get to hang out for an entire day together. And we got to ride sidekick with the DuSablons yesterday. Over to Perfect North to the ski slopes. And we got over there, and Blaine and Cole have never, ever been snow skiing in their life. Never. So Blaine's 16, Cole's 18. They've never did this. So we get over there, and we're getting all suited up. I mean, if you've been skiing, I mean, you're kind of like this a little bit with all the clothes and the bib thing you put on you, and we get Cole and Blaine in their skis, and they're like, all right, and they're on their skis. Like, what do I do now? And So all right, I said, well, we got to go get on this chair, on this lift right here, and we got to go to the top of the mountain, you know. I mean, my thoughts and my wife's thoughts they're not the same. Because I'm like, let's go to the top of the hill. We'll go down and you'll figure it out on the way down, man. You just go like that. My wife's like, no, you got to go to the small little hill and practice and maybe get a lesson and you do your skis like this. But mom wasn't there. It was just me and the boys. So we're going up, we're going to go up to the top of the hill. So we get over close to we're in line, you know, there's probably, you know, 50, 60 people standing in line. They're all behind us at this point, and it's our turn to get up to the lift. Now, those of you that have been skiing are going to appreciate this a whole lot more, because that lift is from the devil, man. That ski lift is demonic, man. It's just waiting to knock you down, I'm telling you. And if it don't knock you down on the way up, when you get off, it'll knock you down, I'm telling you. So we get up there. Now, I remind you, first time ever that Blaine and Cole's ever been on snow skis, we slide up to the thing. I said, there's a little red line there. I said, all right, go up to the red line. Well, I meant like the tip of your skis go to the red line, but I didn't clarify that. And Cole goes, whoof, he slides up and he goes all the way up past the red lines behind him. That lift comes around and catches him right in the backside, like in the middle of his back, and bucks him like a bronken buck, a bull. And all I can see is his backside. I mean, his feet leave the ground. And it throws him over into this big pile of snow, and he's laying face down. Face down in the snow, there's 60 people standing behind us. His skis are going every which direction, and he can't even move. And this is the most hilarious thing. He lifts his head at me, looks back at me, and he's like, I'm going to kill you. I thought I was going to have to take him back to the bus, man. I thought he was done right there, because he couldn't move. He just looked back. Oh, is it all right if I tell that story, Cole? I hope so. A little too late now. But I'll tell you, I do love my kids regardless. But we had an amazing time just hanging out together. And Cole did get better at skiing. I'll have to say that for him. See, Blaine's a lot like me. Blaine's jumped on a lift. We went up to the top, and we both took off down the hill. And Blaine and I got down to the bottom of the hill, and we rode the chairlift back up. Cole was still in the exact same spot where we left him. Oh, it was funny. We got off the lift the second time around. There's Cole still standing in the same spot. Oh, I hope it's all right if I told that part too. Oh, okay. What does that have to do with anything? Well, laughter is good for the soul, right? It's good for our hearts. Influence begins at home. And all great, yeah, that's where we are at. All great leaders live beyond their life. All great men and women of God live beyond their life. And I'll tell you what's wrong with, I can't tell you everything that's wrong with society, but I'll tell you one thing that's wrong with our society is we live for us. Is we live for us right now. And it's all about us, and it's all about what's going on in my life. And great people of God, they live beyond their life. Their influence is not only for themselves, but their influence is to go beyond themselves. And that's why I say that influence begins in your home. It begins with your family. Because let me tell you this, if you cannot influence your family in your own home, what right do we have to influence outside of our homes? I mean, honestly, if we don't influence in our homes and we try to influence outside of our homes, what does that say? It kind of begins to point at our motives. What's really our motives? What's important to us? Is it important for the show? Or is it important behind the closed doors? And so what we see in Joshua's life, man, he began his whole life, he was concentrated on his family. And I'm going to tell you, before anything else, before you take responsibility for anything else outside of your home, you take responsibility for your home, for your family, your wife, your husband, your children. Joshua shows this beautifully. Look in Joshua 24. We're going to start in verse 14. Joshua says this in this chapter. He says, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly." Serve him wholeheartedly. Serve him with all you got. Amen? How many of you are learning in your life that when it says wholeheartedly, that when we look at our lives, that there's more? I don't know how many times I look into my life and I say, look, I'm not giving all that I should give. My life's not where it should be. I find myself coming up short, but I always find the hand of God in my hand. No matter how short I come up, God's always there. He's always got me. And Joshua understood this. He took responsibility for the spiritual life of his family. I'll tell you what we're good at. We're good at trying to provide for the physical needs of our family, amen? And we should do that. But where we miss the mark is leading our families spiritually. I'm guilty of this, and I'm sure some of you are guilty of this. But Joshua understood that in order to live beyond his life, in order to leave a legacy, that you've got to invest spiritually, come on, spiritually in your family. Let me ask you, why is it so hard to invest spiritually in our homes? Takes time, okay. Why do we find it so difficult, men, women, to invest spiritually in our homes? Why is there such an opposition to that? Is there an opposition to that? Do you feel an opposition to investing spiritually in your families? Yes? Yes, okay. Why do you think there's such an opposition? I'll tell you, because it's so powerful. Because that's our first mandate. As a husband or a wife or a parent, our first mandate is to invest into the spiritual well-being of our families. Amen? Whether that's just you and your husband, or whether that's you and your kids, or whether that's you and your grandkids. Joshua's leadership of his family was greater than his leadership to his country. Now listen, in verse 14 it says, "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols of your ancestor that your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve." Joshua said, look, today we're going to make a choice. He said, would you prefer the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites whose land you now live in? But as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua understood, and Joshua went from a minor leader to a major leader, to one of small influence to great influence. And if you're going to let God take you from the small to the greater, let me tell you, every single one of you, God has greater. God isn't finished with any of you. You might be finished with yourself, but God ain't finished with you. There's greater in your life. God has greater for you. No matter where you think you're at, no matter what you've come to in your life, God has greater for you. And I'm going to tell you what, God wants greater in your families. He wants you to invest greater spiritually into your kids, into your wife, into your husband. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Starting at home, it's always the key to affecting others. See, Joshua had his priorities in the right perspective. And isn't it easy to get our priorities out of perspective? Come on. How many of you would be honest and say, I've put my job before my family many, many times? Let's just be honest. A lot of times our jobs get in the way of doing the things that we need to do for our families. But Joshua understood. You see, this may sound a little strange, but when a leader or a man or woman of God puts their family first, then the family and the community prosper. But when a man or woman of God puts the other things first, then the family and the community suffer. You see, there's a divine order that God calls us to. Amen? I'm going to tell you the order. God first. If you are married, your spouse is second, and your kids are third. I know that's hard for some of you to understand or swallow or believe, and you can disagree with me. That's okay. But I would challenge you to read the Word of God and not find that this is true. We operate on this principle in our home. Carol, you know that I love God and I will put God before you. And if you tried to come in between me and God, God would win, right? Now, my children know that I love them, but they also understand that I love Carol more than I love my children. And if it came between my children trying to cause division between me and my wife, my kids would lose. And they understand that. We've talked about that before. And there's an order in our home, and that's how it operates. That's how it works. And that's how I believe it works. And like I say, you are free to disagree. But I think God has called us, and he's shown us the right way to do things. And when we obey that, there's a blessing. There's a blessing that comes. And so Joshua understood this, and he put his family first. And because he was influential in his family, he became influential on a greater scale. Amen? We see that in his life. He went from being a tribal leader to the leader of the Israel nation to take them into the promised land. What a great calling. The second thing that we see that Joshua did, regardless of what others did, he didn't wait for the crowd. He didn't wait for what was popular. He didn't go along with what the world said. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can do whatever you want to do, basically what he told the rest of them. You want to serve other gods? You can. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He laid it out there. It didn't matter what was popular. And there's a lot of popular beliefs in the world today, aren't there? There's a lot of things that political people are telling you, that social media is telling you, our crazy news stations are telling us. I mean, you know what? I almost get sick on my stomach watching news anymore. Is anybody else with me? I mean, it's gotten to the point of pathetic, really, to be honest. It's hard to walk away from watching any news report, and feeling good or feeling strong or feeling. But Joshua, he didn't care what was important. He didn't care what was popular. He didn't care what the crowd was doing. What Joshua cared about was what the Lord was saying to him. And listen, you got to be in that same place. You got to hear. Your ears have got to be tuned in to what God is saying in that moment, what his truth resonates in your heart. And you got to live with conviction and passion to what God's called you to live by. And we can't live by our feelings. Come on. Well, you can't live by your feelings. Your feelings are going to let you down. They'll lead you in places that you shouldn't be. They'll make you make choices that you shouldn't make. And although your feelings are a part of it, the voice that you hear the clearest and the loudest has to be the voice of God. And his voice speaks to you. Amen. He speaks to you. His spirit resonates in your spirit. But also, the word of God speaks the word of God. Amen. And we got to listen to it, and we got to obey it. And Joshua did. He heard God. He followed him. He didn't care what the crowds were doing, and he stood up for what God called him to do. And we could use a little bit more of that in America today. Joshua didn't follow the crowd at the beginning of his career, and he sure didn't follow it at the end of his career. And what I loved about Joshua is he led his family with integrity. He did. He led them with integrity, and he showed them the way to go. He encouraged them to do what was right. The same way he led the nation, he encouraged them to do what was right, and he took them to this place. But the thing I see about Joshua that I love the most is that he modeled right living. He modeled that. And I'm telling you, if you're a parent out there, if you're a parent, you got children, I don't care if they live in your house or they're out of your house. If you're a parent, one of the greatest callings that you got is to be a model, to be an example for your children, for those around you. And if you're not, if you don't have kids, if you've got grandkids, you're called to be a leader. You're called to be an influencer. You're called to model the life that Christ has called you to. And I'm telling you, it pays great dividends in your life. There's nothing really that can take the place of you living your vibrant life for Christ in your home. There's nothing that will impact your children or your wife or your husband more than you living the life for God in your house and in your home. Amen? Will you always get it perfect? No. Are you allowed to make mistakes? Yes. But our goal is to live this life, to be this example, to be the model, to be the one that your children, your wife, or your husband look to in their time of need. John Maxwell said this about his own parents. He said, and this is some good stuff that if you're a parent today, listen to this, get a hold of this. He says, I heard them pray earnestly and often. I listened as they talked about the things of God. I heard them share their faith with others. I saw them put God first in their finances. I went with them to visit the unfortunate. I heard them say only positive things about others. I watched them grow mentally and spiritually. I sensed their deep love and commitment for each other, and I sensed their intimate relationship with God. Man, when I read that list, I was going, uh-oh. I see some of those areas where I've missed it, but there was a positive. I saw some areas where I got it right. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't strike completely out. You ever feel like that as a parent? Like, man, I just blown it all to pieces. And then God reminds you, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. Because you remember that our scripture for the year, 2017? Humanly speaking, it is impossible. I would say, yes, that's about right, raising kids. Humanly speaking, it's impossible. How many of you say, I need God to help me raise kids? Humanly speaking, it's impossible, but with God, what? All things are possible. And that's where we find ourselves today. As you lead your family, as you influence your family, your wife, your husband, your children, God will give you the strength, but you have to make it a priority. You got to step out. It's like anything else. If you don't step into it, guess what? You'll still be standing in the same spot at the top of the hill on your skis. Never move. But you got to step out. You got to move. You got to go. You got to put your family first. There's no legacy like that legacy that you leave from your kids and your wife and your husband. Amen? Come on. That's our greatest responsibility. I'm going to leave you with one last example. It's a wonderful example. It shows you what influence, what true influence, when we connect with it, when we get a hold of it, and we take it seriously, what influence can do. How many of you have ever heard of Jonathan Edwards? He's a great preacher early. Okay, you've heard of him. He was a great preacher early in like the 18th century. He was a great preacher. A lot of his works are recorded books. Great man of God. him and his wife, Sarah, they left this legacy to their influence. These are their descendants from their legacy. They've had 13 college presidents out of their legacy. They've had 65 college professors. They've had over 100 lawyers, including the dean of a law school, 30 judges, 66 physicians, including the dean of a medical school, 80 holders of public office, including 3 senators, and 3 major mayors of 3 mayors of large major cities, 3 governors, a U.S. vice president, and a controller of the U.S. Treasury. You talk about legacy. See, you don't know. You don't know what comes. You think Jonathan and Sarah Edwards, you think they knew what was coming? No, they followed God with faith. They lived a life of influence in their home first, and you see the benefits of that. You begin to see it come through their children. How many of you want your children to go further than you've went? How many of you want them to be more prosperous in the things of the Lord than you are? How many of you want them to walk in divine wisdom of God in their lives more than you have in yours? That is our hope. That is our calling, is to get underneath them and push them forward. Amen? Because you too are called to leave a legacy. And that legacy starts in your home. And your greatest responsibility, let me tell you, is in the walls of your home. Amen. You take care of your children and your wife, and you influence them spiritually. Step out of your comfort zone. Don't be afraid to sit down at the table with your wife and talk about the things of God. Don't be afraid to sit with your children and discuss the things of God in their lives. Amen. Amen. Jason, come. We're going to close this thing out today. Look, I know that God has great callings on all of your lives. I know that there's greater for each and every one of you. He's called you to influence our city. He's called you to influence this church body. He's called you to influence on a greater scale. Amen? There's things in you, and God's calling them out of you. Amen? But I want to tell you that it starts at home. That is our greatest responsibility. Come on, if you could, we're not going to take a long time here, Jason, okay? If you can just play a little bit, I'm going to pray and we're going to dismiss. I'm sorry to pull everybody up here. So let's, if everybody could stand on their feet, we're going to pray, we're going to dismiss, we're going to stack chairs, and we're going to hug each other, amen? Come on, let us pray. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for your word. I thank you that you narrow it down to the right place to start, God. Right in our homes, right where it makes sense, right where we're most effective, right where we are every single day to influence and affect the ones that we love the most. And God, I thank you for the beautiful example that Joshua gives us in his word as he makes that stand throughout his life. And he leaves a great legacy. God, as for him and his house, as for me and my house, as for us and our house, God, we will serve the Lord. Father, this is a good day. You have made it, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Thank you for this awesome body of believers. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their hearts. We praise you. We honor you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome week this week. We got 26 little kids that need a